Hello and welcome once again to In Their Shoes, and my name is Vanessa Coleman. Now, if you've been listening to my recent podcast, you know that last week I was talking about fire dogs and Donald Trump. Well, this week the subject is firearms, deactivated firearms. And my guest today is Mike Beggs, and I'm going to let Mike take over now and tell you why he's having a rant about the EU. So, Mike, welcome.
Hello, Vanessa.
And so you want to have a little bit of a rant about what's happened? Tell us all about it.
Well, I'm very unhappy with the European Union at the moment because they have published a new directive which will mean that deactivated firearms, which are legally held in the UK, will have to be effectively destroyed at the cost of the owner. And that, I think, is totally an utterly unnecessary and an abuse of power, but unfortunately very typical of the European Union.
So you have one of these firearms, I take it, Mike, yes.
Well, yes, I'm a member of the Military Vehicle Trust, and we maintain military vehicles which we take to shows and we use for charity events, in particular Remembrance Day events. And we use them to go to schools when they're studying World War I or World War II. And as part of these, we have deactivated firearms. Now, in the 1980s, when the government was trying to get firearms off the street, they allowed a system of deactivation, which means the firearms are effectively internally destroyed. Every pressure holding part is slotted. Every firing part is broken or ground off, and it would be totally and utterly impossible to reactivate these firearms unless you had a workshop in which you could have made a gun in the first place.
So why now are the EU wanting to bring out this new law?
Well, the excuse for this is that Charlie Hebdo in Paris, there was an attack where people were killed, and of course, that was by terrorists over whom the EU has absolutely no control. And because they can't control the criminals, they are intent on controlling the law abiding and therefore coming and punishing us who have been abiding by the law in this country with a perfectly satisfactory deactivation process and certification of deactivated firearms, which ensures they're safe.
So as far as you know, the firearms that were used in these terrorist attacks are not old deactivated guns, are they?
Of course not. They couldn't possibly be deactivated. You couldn't attack anyone with a deactivated firearm apart from hitting them over the head with it. All the shooting in Paris in Charlie Hebdo and the theatre killing were all modern assault rifles, AK-47s, with lots of ammunition which was sprayed around. And therefore, the effect of punishing those that own deactivated firearms in UK is totally and utterly nonsensical.
This must be affecting businesses in this country. Is there, I'm sorry, I'm quite ignorant with regard to firearms. So is there a good business in this country
As
with
far as I
regard to
know, yes, the gun trade are very active with selling deactivated firearms. And indeed, I know in Lymington, where I live, there is a regular Militaria auction sale in which deactivated firearms figures largely.
So what is it, this EU rule, what will happen if it goes through? What will it mean to you and other people like you?
Well, it will mean that equipment that I bought over the last 20, 30 years as collector's items and treasure and use will have to be effectively destroyed. They will become just lumps of metal which have no interest at all.
So these firearms have not only obviously do they mean something to you, but they have a at the moment they have a value then for sale.
Yes, oh, indeed, some of them are very valuable.
Like, for example,
I have a catalogue here which shows that there are specialist aircraft guns which have been deactivated, and they are now selling for something like £7,000 each.
my word. So if this EU rule comes in, What have you got to do? What will you have to do?
It seems that to my own expense, I will have to have all my firearms, which are now deactivated, welded into a lump of metal so that nothing can be moved or taken apart or used to illustrate how the weapons had functioned. With the current deactivation, it is possible to show how the internals work. And if it was then welded shut into a lump, it would be impossible to know whether the internals were still there or were still alive. Who knows?
So from your knowledge, has there been any incidents with deactivated firearms? I mean, has there been a spate of people going around or, you know, they've been turned into lethal weapons? What's the score on that now?
Well, I tried to research the use of deactivated firearms in crime, and I found statistics which were published for 2008-2009, which showed that the police registered 14,250 incidents where firearms were used in a criminal way, either for actually firing or just to frighten people. For example, I remember someone held up a bank with a banana once, and that was figured as a no doubt as a firearm crime. But of those 14,250, I don't find any, not one single use of a reactivated, deactivated firearm. It just doesn't happen. Why should it? It would be nonsensical to do so when you could make, if you were a criminal and needed to, you could buy a gun in the pub, or you could make one that would work far easier than you could reactivate a deactivated firearm.
How old is the particular firearm that you have with you today? How far does that go back?
Oh, just to show you, I've brought along a World War I rifle.
My word.
Called a short magazine Lee Enfield, short being it's not very long, because the earlier ones were longer. And this is the kind of rifle that my grandfather or your great-grandfather might have carried over the top when he left the trenches to go and face the German machine guns. And therefore, it's a very historic poignant piece of equipment.
Yes.
Which makes you think about the suffering that happened at those times.
This is terrible. So do you think it's like with so many other things with these EU laws, that they just bash out things totally unaware of what it will mean to the members of the public like yourself? Do you think there's any thought goes into any of these things?
Well, the attitude is, and it has been published, that they have to be seen to be doing something. They have to be seen to be trying to stop the terrorists over whom they have absolutely no control. The terrorists in France can come and go with their weapons, and the EU can do nothing to stop them, as we've seen. We've had another episode only yesterday, I believe, in Brussels with the shooting. And they are all using modern firearms, which they can obtain very easily from the Eastern Bloc. But here we just have to be punished for the fact that those wrongdoings are going on in another country.
So obviously you feel outrage and you feel very upset about the situation, because obviously it's historical. But what value are these to you, and what will it mean? How much will it cost to have all this done to?
Well, I the most valuable firearm I probably have would be a World War I Vickers machine gun, which is probably worth about £5,000. As it stands at the moment, I will probably have to pay someone like £200 to weld it solid, and then I will have to pay the proof house another £150 or something in order to give me a certificate that that's been done. And then when I've done that, I will have just a lump of metal, which to me has no interest at all.
So it's taken that away from your life, hasn't it? Your history, everything you feel about it. It's just with the stroke of somebody's pen, it's just going to be taken away from you.
Well, I think it's worse than that. I understand from the 8th of April this year, I will become a criminal because I will be owning deactivated firearms that do not comply with what the EU has suddenly decided they have to be.
So you could get a knock on the door then, literally after that date, to see what's happened then?
I think if I try to sell it, if I advertise it on eBay or something, someone will come and feel my collar, yes.
Yes. So that means really that your gun is going to be worthless, isn't it?
I suspect that that will be the case, that it may not be totally worthless. It may go from being £5,000 to £500. And to me, that's a bit of a loss that I don't see why I should have to take just because the politicians can't do what they want.
Have you, we always say that the problem with having unelected bureaucrats who run Brussels and in effect really run us, have you been in touch with your MP or MEPs? What have you done with regard to that?
I've written to all the southeastern MEPs. And I had two replies, one from Nigel Farage's office and one from Ray Finch, both saying that they were looking into the problem. And I've also written to my MP, who replied saying, I will reply to you if you are not joining a campaign. I don't quite understand what that means, do you?
No. So this is, who's your MP?
Desmond Swain.
Is he one of, he's one of these for coming out of the...
Yes. All the MPs round here have seen the writing on the wall, I think.
Except, unfortunately, our MP, Tobias Elwood. No, he hasn't seen the light. No, unfortunately, he's always right behind David Cameron in Parliament. And, I must say that lots of the constituents are definitely for Brexit. So... I think he will find come the next election that he's not going to have such a majority if he gets in again. But anyway,
good.
We're slightly digressing here. So do you think there's any hope that this won't go ahead?
I think there's going to be a furore and that there will be a lot of people making some difference by getting it rescinded or not introduced into British law, or there will be tens of thousands of people who will be turned into criminals because they won't want to go along with this law and they will find another way around it.
Do you think at times like this it's time to kind of dig your heels in and not do it? If you all did that. Well, I mean, how do you fancy being a criminal?
Well, I don't fancy being a criminal and I'm not a criminal yet, but it's not quite so bad for me because it's not my bread and butter. But the people in the trade must be really suffering because they will have a massive stock, as you've seen the catalogue I showed you, the massive stock of deactivated firearms in which they've invested thousands, if not millions, and that they will effectively have them destroyed at their own cost.
Have you spoken to anybody who's got a business with the firearms?
I haven't spoken to them, but I have read what they've said. And in fact, the punchline on this catalogue, which is interesting, is thank you, EU, for your senseless dictatorship. But at least there is an in-out referendum looming.
Yes.
That's the punchline used by the gun trader.
Right.
Sorry,
well,
deactivated gun trader.
Well, of course, we, sitting around this table today, desperately hoping that the vote, the people of this country will vote to leave the European Union. How are you finding it in your area? You live in Hampshire, I live in Dorset. How are you finding generally the man on the street, the people that you meet, what are their feelings about the referendum?
Well, I find that almost everyone you have a chance to sit down and discuss with is for Brexit. They don't want anything to do with the European Union and believe the sooner we get out, the better. But the problem is that we don't yet have a campaign. We don't know who's going to lead the Leave campaign, and therefore we don't have the definitive logo or slogan or colour scheme for Leave.
Do you really think that's so important?
I don't think it's going to matter after the 14th of April when we know who is going to lead the campaign, because then we can all come together and campaign with a unified voice. But at the moment, the Remainers, of course, say we're not unified. Well, of course we're not, because the Electoral Commission hasn't said who's going to be the lead group in Leave.
Well, of course, there's method in David Cameron's madness, isn't there, with everything. You know, he holds the cards. And but I think that Brexiters are definitely giving him a run for his money. And I don't know if you do go on social media, but there's an awful lot out there on social media. And I think that, if anything, it will be won or lost with the social media.
Yes, I agree.
And even I've been quite surprised at some of the articles in some of the papers that it seems there's a lot of things favourable for Brexit. So, anyway, it's my 70th birthday the day before the referendum, and I've asked everybody to give me a big birthday present of voting leave. So that will be the best birthday present I can ever have, will be for us to go, whoopee, we'll be celebrating when the public vote to leave the EU.
Well, happy birthday, Vanessa, and I hope you will get the biggest birthday present you could ever get.
Thank you, Mike. Well, it's great to see you today, and I look forward to meeting you again. But in the meantime, listeners, have a great day until we meet again. Thanks. Bye-bye.